Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello everyone, it's Niall here from Football Social Daily. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying your bank holiday weekend. Now, if you're not from the UK, bank holiday is basically an extra day of the weekend that we get here, and it's usually on a Monday. So all of the boys today are off. We're kicking our feet up, probably having a couple of beers as well, but we're still enjoying the football nonetheless. So instead of leaving you high and dry with no podcast, we've asked the guys from Rose Ed to take over our feed for one day only. Joe, Hannah and Simon will be with you very, very shortly. They'll be talking about Frank Lampard and his bus parking methods in the Merseyside derby. Also, Harry Maguire's had a pretty poor season. They'll have their take on that. And as Simon is a Newcastle United fan, we'll get some thoughts from him as well about how his beloved Magpies are getting on. It's not all about the football, though, as I'm sure you'll soon find out. You'll hear about what Simon has been getting up to on a bed with Tinchy Strider, the rapper. Yeah, that's worth sticking around for. And if you don't know what happens when it comes to Greek Easter, well, you'll learn about that too. We'll be back on Tuesday with more Football Social Daily, but for now, here are the guys from Rose Ed to take you through Monday.
Welcome to Rose Ed, and since the last time we spoke, the world of football has turned upside down as Spurs tumble out of the top four. Arsenal actually managed to put a run of form together, and Manchester United... Oh, good, Manchester United are still a total shambles. I did not write this intro. But in some very sad news, we've lost the gravelly-voiced hero of Rose Ed, the brave, noble man who single-handedly kept a substandard group of colleagues with no talent afloat. Yes, that's right. Joe has finally had his throat removed and Sean Dyche has been sacked. Hello, welcome to Rose Ed. My name is Hannah East. Joe is here, but he's only on the chat, thank God. So he's able to speak in a feeble, creepy little voice. But he's going to be piping up in the chat. So this week, joining us as ever is Mike and Simon Harkness. How are you doing, lads?
Yeah, great, thanks. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Again.
It's an absolute thrill.
I don't know if that's really sarcastic or if you've been serious there.
It did sound a little bit
genuine
sarcastic,
thrill.
Didn't it? Yeah.
And how,
yeah, no, this is lovely.
How are you, Mike? How have you been?
I mean, I cannot believe you actually read out that intro. I only got to the heroic bit. I didn't realise he was actually slamming us as well after that.
I know. It's so, the way he wrote it is if he's died.
We should use that as,
if you ask me.
Here he is. I think we should use that as the obituary for when he does die. Hopefully you and Sean Dyche will die on the same week, or at least for the same month, and you can just sort of swap it in and out.
It'd be easier because we wouldn't have to do two podcasts.
Oh, sorry. The funny thing with the fact that you've had your throat removed is the fact that you're told that you're not really supposed to speak for, a month?
Yeah. It was about 4 weeks, yeah.
About 4 weeks. So what's brilliant is Joe's had to let go of control of all these absolute utter that he writes in these running orders. I'm joking because he writes them every week. And then we've got to, we can do what we can say and do what we want this week, but you're going to pipe in, but you can't have any like expression. And so you're so monotone, which is literally the voice messages there. Funniest thing I've ever heard.
Hello and welcome to Rose Ed. It's another, yeah, like that.
You know when like teachers were off for a week for like personal reasons or something, and the kids would just go mental on like the substitute teacher.
Yeah. Yes.
This is very much how I feel like this week is going to go.
I think that's probably true. You can't really tell us, but you started to use an app, like a lady robot. So when he first came out of surgery, I got this message. It was like, hello, Hannah, this is Joe Forrest the TV. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to get 4 weeks of this. Did you get those, Mike?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I mean, I used to do it to like wind up my mates when we're on like playing Xbox or something. You just played like random like things, but Joe's using this as a tool to speak, which is quite funny and a bit weird.
Hello
but,
and welcome to Rosie.
Yeah. So creepy, isn't it?
That's
so
creepy.
Do you know what's even creepier? So my husband listened to that and he was like, oh my God, that's amazing. What app is it? So I asked Joe and now he started to send me like really rude audio messages throughout the day, but I read one out when I was in the car through my phone with the kids in the back of the car, and Andy was like, this evening what I want to do to you, and I was like, oh my God, switch it off. What does daddy want to do to you, mummy? Why is he talking like a woman, a robot?
Can I play you one that I did the other day to my girlfriend? Because I was coming back from work and I was like, let's meet in the park so we can walk the dog, right?
Interesting, but we've got 5 minutes into the podcast and you're already talking about your girlfriend, Joe.
How Operation U-Tree is this?
Want to meet me at the climbing frame in the park in 20 minutes?
Oh, mate. Oh, my God.
What have you seen there?
Honestly.
Wow.
Surprised the police didn't come out the bushes and nick me.
Yeah.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. This show is just an opportunity for you to get cancelled. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This show is just an opportunity for you to get cancelled. Like, if it's...
Well, I'm going to stop interrupting. Sorry, Hannah. Yeah, do you think? Sorry.
Oh, well, I need to ask Mike, because, Mike, you've joined the gym. Mm. That was the interesting point of conversation. Tell us about that, Mike.
What were you trying to say? Oh, just looking at me, I can't believe you've joined the gym.
No, because Joe's put on the notes that you've joined a gym. So we need to talk about it.
Yeah, I have. It's time to, you know, get back in shape. I've had like basically two Easters in a row because Greek Easter is separate to English Easter. So you get like double the food, double the Easter eggs. And double the size essentially. So
I'm really confused.
So, yeah, I need to get in shape.
As in, you have to do the bog off deals for Easter eggs everywhere, or is this just a? How can we have two Easters?
Because Greek Easter's different. It's on a different calendar to
Easter.
But how close back to back are they?
This year is a week apart. Have you never heard of this, Anna? It's like it's an Orthodox calendar.
Is this actually a thing?
We need a Joe history lesson right here.
Got nothing.
Come on, yeah. Joe. Did you know this, Joe, that they have two?
I had no idea that Greek people had a different Easter.
No, it's not. It's not Greek people. That'd be pretty weird. It's the Orthodox like branch of Christianity runs on a different calendar. So Russian Orthodox people. Romanian.
Well, in the 5th century, when the Roman Empire split into East and West, then essentially...
Boring!
But the Western side is Catholic and the Eastern side, so we're talking Russia, Eastern Europe, Greece and the Balkan states is Orthodox.
Yeah.
So ever such a slightly different version of Christianity.
Can I just say, I didn't think we'd be getting this deep when I agreed to go on this podcast.
Yeah, it's a football show, Simon, but we do venture off.
It was fantastic. It was very enlightening.
So Mike's having two Easter eggs a week apart. And Joe, your speech therapist put you on a sex ban.
Yeah.
What?
So Tori.
Any times about it?
So her name's Tori. And
is she fit?
I don't think of her like that. It's very much a medical relationship. Although she was wearing yoga gear when we spoke and like showed me her yoga gear. Anyway, So basically Tori messaged me and went, your surgeon has given me, for anyone who doesn't know the intimate details of my life, I had polyps on my vocal cords like Adele did. which when she cancelled her tour, and I had them removed. And that's basically why I've got this weird, creepy little voice for a little bit. So I sound like the child catcher. But basically, then I just got an email from this woman going, oh, your surgeon has told me to get in, has referred you to me. Can we have an appointment on Saturday? So I was like, okay, yeah, fine. Sat on the phone with her for 40 minutes. And she was basically just like, oh, okay, don't cough. Don't eat any big meals in case you get acid reflux. Make sure you do voice exercises. And then she stood up, put her hands on her belly to show me that I needed to breathe into my belly, not my chest. And went, what you want to do is go. Literally that. And she said, do that 2 or 3 times an hour every day. So that's not practical. I mean, in everyday life. So I've been doing it like once every other day. But she also said, no strenuous exercise for 4 weeks, anything that's going to make you breathe hard. And I'm very sorry to say that means no sex for 10 days.
Really? So, 10 days.
So, I mean, fine, whatever. I've got a PlayStation.
Yeah,
but Netflix.
Yeah, Joe, if it only lasts for like 10 seconds, sure, that's not considered strenuous exercise.
Well, jokes on you. In 10 seconds, I can do it twice. But the thing is, because obviously after an operation or whatever, like you don't feel very sexy, do you? Or like you don't particularly feel that aroused. So for example,
could you share some of the pictures that you were sending to us with your bum hanging out in your robe and stuff like that? You don't feel very sexy and you're taking pictures of yourself in the mirror, sending them in the group chat.
Felt cute, might delete later.
I haven't had these pictures. I kind of want them.
I'll forward it to you in a minute, mate. But
thanks, mate.
Well, because they make you put paper pants on at the hospital, but I was having an operation on my throat. So that can only be because they're looking at your winky when you're asleep and like taking them. Like, I don't know, why have I got my little paper pants on?
Can you imagine if they did that? You're on the surgery, like, go on, get it out. And then they stood there absolutely howling, taking like selfies with you and like,
but if you're operating on someone and like it's on the lower regions, you can see it and they've got a massive pipe, there's no way as the doctor or the anaesthetist or whatever that you're not commenting.
Give it a slap.
Slap. Give a little wiggle.
Or if it's like in the way, they have to like get a giant pair of tweezers and just like,
yeah,
in the way.
It'd be like cooking tongs.
Yeah. What I was thinking of, Simon.
I dress it up, get like glasses, maybe like a moustache or something.
Oh, well, at least I'm glad you are feeling better, Joe. Thanks, marginally Anna. Better. We were worried about you for about a minute.
Just literally weren't.
Yeah, we're like, is he going to do the running order next week or what? But this week, so I went to a kids' party on Sunday, and it was one of my really good friend's little girls' parties. And there's like, if you've been to a kids' party before, it was at this inflatable park. It's absolute carnage. There was 40 kids. It's like a McDonald's drive-through in terms of you get a room allocated for 2 hours, then they have to eat, do the cake, everything, get out because the next party's coming and they've got to anti-back everything. So there's a young girl dishing out the food and you had to pre-order what the kids were having. So she said to me, she's like, oh, could you give the pepperoni pizza to those two little boys on the end? So I was like, yeah, that's fine. So I gave the pepperoni pizzas to the little boys and carried on. And I was like, you know, I was getting hot and sweaty because it wasn't my kids' party and I should have been hungover outside, but I was helping. And then one of the mums said to me, she was like, I don't think those boys can eat meat. And I was like, what? Anyway, I was literally like, oh my God, because my mum did this to our friends Yusuf and Abubika when we were younger, and she gave them Billy Bear meat and she didn't know that they couldn't eat
Billy
meat.
Bear?
Yeah. And they loved it.
So, just to make it worse.
And I've rinsed her.
Novelty.
I know, it's probably not even meat though, is it? It's just toenails. So I looked at these kids and I was like, oh my God. And as they bit in and they were eating the pepperoni, they were like, And I was like, oh my God, I bet they've never eaten this meat before. So I used my nails and I saw the dad coming over and I scraped the meat with my nails off the pizza. And then I told them both to open their mouths and I put my fingers in their mouth and I pulled the meat out and used a napkin and wiped their tongue. And then I was just like, is it just a cheese pizza? And they were like, what's that? And I was like, it's cheese. And so they were just like, okay, anyway. It turns out they are allowed to eat meat and that was all okay. They do eat meat. But you know, for those few seconds where I was like, oh my God, I need to extract the meat out of the out their mouth because I felt so I felt so bad.
That's what I meant. You literally,
yeah, you literally clawed,
yeah,
meat out of her mouth. My yeah. God, and that's and quite then, a harrowing story.
I clawed it out, and then I got a napkin and like shoved it in there, like scraped it off their tongue because I thought I would hate for them. I'd hate for their family to know that I'd done that. But I was just going off the instruction of a 15-year-old girl that was doing a Sunday job and she didn't give a
that's
shit anyway.
That's what your mistake was, Anna.
Yeah.
It was awful. I would say at that point, they can have a little nibble. Once they've taken it, like swallow it and then get it. You couldn't pay me to put my hands in a 4-year-old's mouth to extract some mushed up food.
You're
mental. Right. Why did you do
that? Can we just reverse, Hannah? What was that bear meat thing you said?
Billy Bear.
What's that?
Oh, it's disgusting. It's like
what is that?
Pork. Is it pork? Mate. It's like it's meat that is different shades, so it looks like a bear. So you get it sliced. You used to get it from the deli. Yeah, Yusuf and Abubika came round and my mum was like, you want a wee bit of belly bear meat? And so they were like, yeah, all right then. So she chucked it in the sandwiches and then they're eating it like, oh, this is nice. And my dad said, where's all that Billy Bear meat gone, Christine? And mum was like, oh, Hannah and Yusuf and Abubika and Andrew had it. And dad was like, you didn't give Billy Bear meat to Yusuf and Abubika, did you? But yeah, she did. And they loved it. And every time these come round, they'd ask for Billy Bear meat.
Is it like the consistency of Spam? Like that's the only thing that comes
very similar.
Yeah, like, similar.
Like canned
yeah.
meat.
It's so rank.
I've just put a link in the chat, Mike. I need to have a look at this. Absolutely foul.
It's minging.
It's iconic. I don't know how you don't know what it is. It's literally, it's iconic.
Oh, that is awful. Yeah.
It's a staple of British...
Yeah, it's quite 90s though, isn't it? Billy Bear.
But we used to go to the counter and obviously my mum's Scottish Jesus. And she'd be like, can I have some belly beard meat? And then she'd be like, can I have some turkey on your bone? And the guy at the deli in Yorkshire was like, what? I'd be like, oh, she means turkey on the bone. Turkey on your bone. It was really awkward. Bless her.
Also, Hannah, those kids aren't going to remember the context of what happens. They're not going to remember the ham. So in 20 years, they'll probably be sitting around like at a family birthday and be like, do you remember when that weird woman put her hands in our mouth?
An extracted, chewed up pepperami.
Oh my God.
Because they'll probably just be like, they were just at a kid's party, just eating a sweet or something. And you've just put your hands in like,
I was so worried because I thought, like, I genuinely didn't even think because a girl just said these boys want pepperoni pizza. But, you know, I saved the day in the end.
All the cultural tensions in the world at the moment, Hannah, and that's not helping.
Your face is when I started the story. You were like, what's she going to say? What is she going to say? But it's all good. The boys are okay. Had a chat with the dad and it's fine. I just didn't say that, put my hands in his mouth. But our next segment we need to move on to, and I'm not going to do it. So things every week, you've heard this before, Simon, things that make you go,
Yeah.
There we are. Mike, how would you say it? Yeah.
Do you want to just give it a go? Give it a little go. It's really satisfying.
I'm not making a sex noise down the microphone at like stupid o'clock in the morning, but things that make you go, this week, Declan Rice didn't go, at 200K a week, did he, Mike?
Nah, he didn't. Nah, I mean, it's a weird story because David Moyes is very quick to sort of like brush it under the carpet and say, well, you know, that's not come from us. And then there was a bit of a funny moment because he asked in the press conference who it was that broke the story, and the press officer said, oh, it's a guy called Fabrizio Romano. He's an Italian journalist that works for The Guardian. And Moyes was like, oh, not a local lad then. So he sort of like, I was like, David, is that appropriate, mate? And then
he's embarking.
It's like, yeah, like relevance of whether he's Italian or not. But yeah, anyway, they were quick to play that down. But if that is true, and Declan Rice has, I think it's like a third contract offer, I would say, like, I don't think they're giving him a contract to stay there for the rest of his life. They're giving him a contract to protect his value. So if he does want to stay there and play, you know, European football next season with West Ham, which it looks like they're going to do, I feel like he should probably sign it. I don't think West Ham will be the type of club to say, oh, here, sign this contract and then you can never leave. I think they'd accept an offer, but, you know, they want to protect his value.
Yeah.
I think they'll accept an astronomical offer. are already talking about, like,
yeah,
isn't it 150 million, 200 yeah. million? But they're, yeah, yeah, like, I don't know. How many years has he got left on his contract?
I think it's 2024 or 2025. So there's okay. there's a good few years left. But when they start getting to this stage, like, everyone gets a bit panicky. It's like, all right, well, you know, if it's left another year, he could have 2 years left on his contract and then 1 year, and then you have to sell for like a really cut price fee. So, yeah, 200 grand a week for someone like Declan Rice, who 1 year ago, like before the Euros, was deemed like a good player, but not someone who's like a world beater. And then, yeah, you know, in 12 months time, you get offered 200K a week. I think that's actually what they offered Antonio Rudiger as well. And he's rejected it, and he's going to Real Madrid, it looks like. So, you know, to get the sort of same ballpark figure as a player like that is a big amount to turn down.
Yeah. And what do you think about David Moyes and the job that he's done at West Ham? Has it been a surprise to you? Because I think when he left United, people are like, where's he going to go now? But it's almost as if he's going to everybody, isn't he? Any doubters?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, 100%. He's done a great job. And I think for that size of club and that structure and the type of players that they sign and the football that they play is perfect for David Moyes. I think when you go slightly above, that's not quite his gig. I think he's, you know, at Everton, he was at his best when they were sort of like mid to like fourth place table, and they were always in and around there. So he knows exactly what he's doing at that size of club. When he went to United, I think the job was too big, the pressures to succeed Fergie. I don't think anyone who went in there would have been a success just following that guy. It's like you, Hannah. How on earth could you replicate Joe? Like, it's the impossible task.
That's the point. And he's writing notes and we're not even reading them. We're not even, he's telling me to say certain things. And I've just went on about David Moyes and West Ham. And he looked at me as if, like, you know, when I was like, how can anyone play? And Joe's looking at me thinking, that's not what I wrote in the notes there. And I'm like, I don't care what you wrote, because this is my show today.
Well, no, Mike will tell you as an excellent producer himself that just all you can do is just guide and encourage. It's just suggestions, isn't it, mate? It's just suggestions to help the show flow.
Yeah, okay, you can't polish a turd, as I say.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Let me just analyze what you said there.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Things that make you go, Simon, we've got to talk about Newcastle. Surely.
Oh, yeah.
Surely. Because the last time you were on the podcast, it was a different direction for Newcastle. But here we are. Here we are. Happy days.
I don't think I've ever enjoyed supporting Newcastle as much as I am now. It's astonishing. I think last time I was on, was it 2 months ago? So we're probably still in danger of relegation. and now, bizarrely enough, we find ourselves in the top half of the table. It's something that I think it's only Liverpool and Spurs maybe, who have got more points in 2022 than Newcastle do. So things that made me go, just Eddie Howe, he makes me go, all day long. I couldn't love him anymore. He's just amazing. He's proven everything that we were saying about the previous manager and the previous regime. Like, players, here we go. I know we've got some Bruce fans on here, but
can't even say, like, his name anymore. It's like Voldemort.
Literally, yeah. I'm just done with him. The players weren't fit enough. They weren't being played in the right positions. We were playing a brand of football which we were told was all they were capable of. Yeah, Eddie Howe's like brought in players, but it took Guimarães like 6 or 7 games to actually start in a midfield which had Shelvey, Joe Linton and Joe Willock, they were all Bruce players. Dan Byrne, like, I love Dan Byrne. He's been an amazing signing. I would argue most Premier League clubs could have put a bid in for him if they wanted to. We just knew we needed to strengthen with Premier League experience. And he's been like a monumental success at the back. Kieran Trippier, I think he played 5 games and he's been injured. And we've had Emil Kraft in, who was another Bruce player, who looks like literally for the last 2 years, he's not been Premier League quality at all. And in the last couple of months, he's been superb for Newcastle. Honestly, it's just, I can't speak highly enough of the job Eddie Howe's done. All Newcastle fans absolutely love him.
And the players, by the sounds of it, as well. Like, he's almost turned the dressing room around. Yeah,
absolutely. Apparently, the first thing he did, according to Jonjo Shelvey, was he'd call the players in one by one and just ask them, like, so, what's your wife's name? How many kids do you have? And he was just trying to get to know him. When, like, Jonjo was doing that interview, I was like, are you sure you should be saying this? It sounds like he's trying to get like their PIN numbers and like how was your national insurance number, you know? I love him. So Eddie Howe makes me go
What a question. What's your wife's name? Imagine that. That would make or break a relationship, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. I mean, if, you know, first time I met Joe, first thing he said to me, so, you know, you single?
Yeah, but that's because I was trying to do the no pants dance.
Exactly.
Joe, why don't you ask Simon the question you want to ask him about his shirt?
Is that the 1998 Newcastle shirt, Simon?
It's not. This is the 1991 shirt, I think it is, because that's the year of my birth.
Because I can't actually, because I can't see it, because obviously the iconic one is the...
Craft shop.
But like sort of 95 to 98 with oh my god, it's completely escaped my escaped my tiny little brain. Newcastle, is it Newcastle Brown Ale, the sponsor?
Yeah.
Newtie Brown.
That's like
Newtie Brown.
Newtie Brown. That's like, yeah, that's the iconic one. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
I would love us to go back to that sponsor at some point. I think the days in which Newcastle Brown Ale are able to afford sponsoring Newcastle United probably long gone. But if, you know, the new ownership are looking for even more good PR, then yeah, imagine getting Brown Ale back on my shirt. It'd be amazing. Are alcohol brands allowed to even sponsor kids anymore?
Also, I don't think Newcastle either.
Yeah, I was going to say that there's a lot of things that stand
fair point. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that for a bliss second. Yeah.
And Mike, what do you think? Where obviously Simon's quite biased about Newcastle and the changes. What are your thoughts on Newcastle this season?
I mean, if anyone can get Joe Linton like playing good football, I mean, you've got to be a decent manager, because he was just, you know, a big sort of turd up front, which is basically what he was under Steve Bruce. He didn't really know what to do with him. And the fact he's playing in midfield now, and I think he scored 2 goals the other week, is pretty impressive. Yeah. And obviously Bruno G as well is a player that Arsenal wanted. And he was at Lyon and was in that insane Lyon team with like Tanguy and Ndombele and Memphis Depay and Hussein Aouar, and he's just a level above. So the fact he's playing really well is no surprise to me, and it's just a great signing. My question for Simon would be, so now you've sort of got like, right, so but apart from Bruno, I'd say most of them are pretty like bog standard signings. I think when everyone heard that who you were being taken over by and the amount of money that they have, you know, you're getting linked to like Neymar and Mbappe and players like that, and you ended up getting Dan Byrne and Chris Wood, and you know that's fine, because for what you needed to stabilize and keep your Premier League status. But in the summer, do you think that will change? Do you think they'll sort of target, you know, more high profile players?
I think there'll be an evolution of the sort of signings we're making. I would say as well that I don't think any Newcastle fan expected us to go out and buy Mbappe and Neymar and Haaland. There's like the training ground, like for instance, has been described as a League One training ground. And I think I said this last time I was on, that like even if we did put in a bid for Haaland and he somehow decided to go, he wanted to go play for Newcastle, miss out on the Champions League, miss out on Europa League, just play for Newcastle currently, he'd get to the training ground, take one look at it and go, nope, I'm good. So I think, like anything, it seems like we're in the early stages of a project with Newcastle. But I do think there's going to be like an evolution of the players we've seen that we've bought. I think Trippier is like an astonishing bit of business. And I think if we can get players like Trippier who know the league, who are clearly a cut above the rest of the team and international players, then I think it's going to be an amazing, potentially an amazing season next year. In terms of who I actually want us to go out and sign, I kind of think it's worth us putting a call out for Harry Maguire, because I don't think he's going to be United next year. I think he needs to get out of United. Yeah. And I think he would come in and strengthen pretty much every defence outside the top five or top six. I think we've got the money. And if rumours are to be believed, we've only got about 80 to 90 million to spend this summer. I think you could get Harry Maguire out. Oh, yeah, because Spurs never spend that money, Joe. Look at your face.
To be fair, we normally don't.
Really? Well, mate, you spent 65 on Ndombele.
Yeah, well, that was an error. But we sell, don't we? Like our
yeah, true. We sell.
Our net spend over the last 5 years was like £7.5 million.
Yeah, that's true.
But to be fair, we've now started spunking cash because we need to, because we...
Yeah, because your managers keep on leaving if you don't.
That's such an interesting shout, though, Maguire to Newcastle.
Yeah, but it's really nice that you would say that. I felt really happy that you'd be positive about him, because he's getting absolutely no positivity, is he, Mike?
No, not at all. And I think Simon's right. I think he does need to get out, because like, I think undoubtedly that he will be stripped to the captaincy soon. It feels like that's the sort of thing that's coming. He didn't even start against Arsenal on the weekend. He was on the bench. You know, obviously there was an awful situation. I don't think we could stress how much like a bomb threat is a disgrace. And, you know, I can't believe his family had to go through that. I don't know why anyone would do that. But obviously his performances and his form has pretty much fallen off a cliff from where they were last season. So I think United need to make a decision in the summer. Do you sort of cash in before his, you know, form gets any worse, or do you stick by him? And I could definitely see him. I could see him at Newcastle, because, you know, when he was at Leicester, he did look like a top class player. And it's just not worked out for him at United. And maybe he's not quite at that level. But in a system with a manager like Eddie Howe, I'm sure he would absolutely thrive. And with, you know, the support of St. James's Park, I'm sure he'd become like a bit of a cult hero.
Yeah. And I think like it's a project that you can see him like wanting to get on board with. Like we could essentially build the team, well, certainly the defence around him.
Sorry, Hannah and I are swearing at each other while Mike was talking.
I didn't even see that.
So, oh, I hadn't noticed.
Yes.
Come on, Joe, stop being so unprofessional. Carry on, Simon.
So I want to say we weren't laughing at you two, we're just trying to swear.
I think it'd be a good... I could definitely see him getting on board with a project like that. He needs to get out of United, and I think Newcastle fans would absolutely love him. I still think there's a hell of a player. For me, you look at Maguire play for England, he looks world class. He looks like a completely different player. They basically base the whole defense around Harry Maguire, and to an extent the system that we play for England. So it's baffling what's happening at Man United. But
next season for United, we're gonna get, you know, we've got a new manager, we're gonna get new players. This time next season, I'm gonna be like, listen, boys, what were you saying about United last season?
You're delusional.
We're gonna be on fire.
Absolutely delusional.
Yeah, no, totally. I've
got a question about United. So next year, like, you're going to need to do some serious transfer business. Yeah. Like, not only getting players in, you need to get players out. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a hell of a rebuilding job for Ten Hag.
But we'll replicate what Liverpool are doing. And I think the next team is Arsenal. I think I'd like to be kind of the momentum that Arsenal have got. I hope we're like that next season, the season after. It's going to be a 3 to 5 year process. And I'm here for the ride, baby. No, that's what I think anyway. And it's just...
are you talking about?
I genuinely believe that in like 5 to 10 years time, we're going to be like smashing it. Liverpool, like Man City, Arsenal, Spurs, you'll all be like, oh, I want to be more like United. That's what's going to happen.
We'll have Neymar by then, so good luck. But yeah,
all the best with that. Now we've got another thing because we still haven't got off this this little segment here. Because I need to know if you've gatecrashed a party off the back of 30,000 Frankfurt fans made it to Camp Nou, new camp. Say it differently to see them knock Barcelona out of the Europa League. So, have you crashed a party? We're talking about Nou Camp here, right? Camp Nou. Have you crashed a party before, Mike? Because I imagine that the Greek parties, there's a lot of people around, things happen.
What way to phrase that question?
With your little long nails.
Oh God. Camp Nou. Yeah, I've actually I've been to Camp Nou, which is a horrible ground, by the way. But have I crashed the party. I crashed a party which was meant to be for like the freshers reps. You know when you're at uni, like you get like taken around by all the people in like year two, and like they're showing all the freshers where to go and stuff. And this is at Loughborough, by the way. So shout out to Hannah.
Liga Bariga.
So in the student union at Loughborough, they'll hold in like a special party for the people that were like basically showing the reps around, and the freshers got wind of it, and it was like a special guest, and it was people were thinking it would be like ankle but hump pudding or something, but he actually was a cool guest.
Who?
I don't know.
Sorry, we just rinse me all the time because I can't speak properly. Say it again, Mike.
I'm going to scoot past that one.
No, say it again.
No. It's all right. It was actually Tiny Temper that we gate crashed. No, we're gonna scoot past that one, Joe. You can edit that.
You won't.
I don't know why I picked the most difficult name to say.
It's like Nou Camp, innit?
Yeah, Hannah, how would you say that that 70s crooner's name?
Oh no, don't turn this on me. This is all about Mike in this moment.
Right, what did you go for? My Enkelbert.
Enkelbert, I think. Right. Peter Enkelman.
Simon's probably interviewed. Have you interviewed him, Simon?
I've not. No, I've not interviewed before Engelbert. Your time. Humperdinck, no.
Simon wasn't doing like press in like a 60s. Why would you be Humperdinck?
Oh, Julius Caesar as well, Simon, by the way.
What a guy. What a guy.
Born in like 2002, weren't you, Simon? God. Oh, that like last night when we were talking about what's his name? The guy from that I thought was in The Mask.
Oh, so we were talking about, so basically Hannah said she fancies John Stones.
I did, because I said, like his lips. He's got lovely lips.
I said John Stones if Cillian Murphy had a younger brother. And then Hannah was like, do you remember that bit in The Mask where he does the bit with the 9-iron and he starts like recounting this bit in The Mask? And I was like, what do you mean that bit in The Mask? And then she was like, well, Cillian Murphy in The Mask. I was like, Cillian Murphy, the film came out in 1994.
What? Like,
and then I sent her a link. The actor, it's an actor called Peter Green, who's 56 years old. And I thought Cillian Murphy was starring in The Mask 28 years ago.
As a young up and comer.
But I really want to pretend that that's not true. But I genuinely thought that when you have children, this is what happens.
They don't tell you that, do you? Oh, Mrs. East, you might get Jim Carrey films mixed up.
Yeah,
I just forget everything. But Mike, I'm sorry, we went away from your story about gate crashing parties and stuff. So go
with
back to
temper.
It. And
yeah. So we were expecting someone essentially because you know it was a tiny little Loughborough, nothing really going on there. You know, so it's a rubbish place. No, I'm joking, Anna. It's a very nice town.
It's a place to live. It's okay, you can say it.
Okay. but yeah, so it's like tiny student union. We're expecting some rubbish, but I walked in and it was Tiny Temper, who at that time, in a long, long time ago when I was at uni, he was really, really big. And yeah,
height wise or
big temper.
still 4 foot two.
Did you have you had any? I'm feel like every single celebrity we're going to mention, I'm going to ask Simon if you interviewed them, no matter if they were born in the Middle Ages or not.
Game Vera Lynn.
have you interviewed Tiny Temper, Simon?
I've not interviewed Tiny Temper, but I've interviewed Tinchy Strider on a similar note. I sat on a bed with him. He was doing a collaboration with Premier Inn. And I was asked to go and like interview him. I was like, yeah, absolutely. I needed some stuff for my showreel. And like the Premier Inn we're doing, it's called The Hub by Premier Inn. Do you know what that is?
I've heard of it.
No.
It's like, I don't blame you. So imagine a Premier Inn, but like very small, like a very small studio where everything is connected by like USB ports and stuff. It was actually pretty cool. He was doing a collaboration with them to try and make a song and he couldn't leave his room for 24 hours or something like that. He had to create, produce a song in 24 hours in the room. Sat on the bed with Tinchy Strider, who is really, really small. I think he's about 5'1". I just sort of towered over him. I'm not particularly tall. I'm 5'9".
5'1".
But there's just this wonderful image of me sat next to Tinchy Strider on a bed, giving him lyrics and Did I pause after giving him?
We were like, what's he gonna say?
Yeah, I gave him I've interviewed him and I've been to a launch party with Tiny Temper for another collaboration he was doing.
Joe really wants to say something.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah.
I hosted the launch of Tiny Temper's tour movie. So it was me and Tiny Temper, like at the front of a room, like full of journalists. And obviously, like Tiny Temper is an urban music artist. And I walked in, I was like, hello, right. If you liked Pass Out or perhaps Frisky, well, you might like.
Or perhaps Frisky.
You'd hired like a camp Willy Wonka. And it was so embarrassing, right? Because there was loads of like super cool like music journalists and whatever. He wanted to like ask him questions about working with Labyrinth and all that stuff. And obviously, you know me, I don't know the difference between Pussycat Dolls and Girls Aloud. So like, I'm just not the man to do that. And then I was like, it was gone all right. And the whole time I was thinking like, you know, sometimes because I love doing my job, but when it comes to the crunch, I hate it and I want it to be over and just get paid. Do you know what I mean though? Sometimes you think, oh, it's a good job, isn't it? And then it's like, and then it comes to like the bit where you've got to go on stage, you're like, I hate it. I wish I was at home watching telly.
You just want to be at home moisturizing your Joe, watching TV.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In terms of things, mate, what about Karen Benzema's penalty?
Oh, my absolute filth. I should have expected it, really, because like the season he's having, of course he's gonna like do a Panenka in the semi-final of the Champions League. I was completely blown away from it. Like, it was just I actually thought it was going over the bar at one point. Did anyone else think that? Yeah. There was a lot of height on that penalty. But I think that kind of made it even more beautiful, the fact that it just sort of kept on rising and rising and rising and then just hit the top of the net. It was absolutely beautiful. What a player. What a season he's having. But I think that first goal, it literally came from nothing. It was a terrible cross into the box.
Yeah.
It's not what he wanted at all. And then he just, he put it away perfectly. And then, that penalty was just astonishing, really. What a player.
Yeah.
Isn't he like, how old is he? 35 now or something?
34.
Yeah, 34.
34. And he's racking up 40 goals in the season.
Karen
Benzema
is younger than me.
Real Madrid.
Like, that's depressing, isn't it?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
That's made my day.
Think how my life is compared.
Yeah, but Joe,
I do that all the time though. I always compare myself to people like Phil Foden. I'm like, oh, Phil Foden's like he's 21 And I think, oh, yeah, but I'm only 20. Oh, no, I'm 30. How did that happen? It's really depressing.
If you met Phil Foden in a normal context, he would probably be an intern at work. Like, that would be you would meet him and he would be like making your tea and stuff, but as it is, he's Phil Foden,
which is really sad. And something else that's really sad is Sean Dyche has gone. What are your thoughts on that? Interestingly, at first everyone's like, what were they thinking? Why have Burnley done this at this time of the season? And a couple of wins later, or a couple of points later, it's a different story.
I'm shocked at I was shocked at the decision. And I'm even more shocked at not only the results, but the performances from Burnley since. Because it's one thing getting results, not playing well, as Steve Bruce knows. And it's another actually fully deserving the results you get, especially after losing your manager who has basically kept you in the league.
Yeah.
Like Burnley, they already look weirdly better drilled and actually better going forward, which is just mad. As soon as I heard that Dyche had gone, I thought, well, that's been done, and Everton basically have just survived. I could not have predicted this at all. It's mad, and I feel the way they're playing has really taken me by surprise. I think if Matt Jackson? I don't even know his name.
Never heard Mike Jackson, I think. Yeah, because everyone's getting like the memes, you know, the Michael
Brilliant.
Jackson.
Yeah. If Michael Jackson was from Burnley, he would be called Mike Jackson, wouldn't he? Mikey Jackson. I was just really, really surprised. And I'm actually kind of rooting for them to stay up now, which is weird because after they got rid of Dyche, I was like, I kind of wanted to go down. But it's made it so interesting.
Because there's obviously stuff going on behind the scenes that we were completely oblivious to, and the reason he was sacked was because he wasn't doing well enough. They're going to get relegated, and now they've turned it round. What do you think was going on behind the scenes?
I'm surprised you didn't know about it, Hannah, with all your like gossip and
I don't,
the mums.
I know, but
you
I don't
know,
want
Sean
to talk,
Dyche is moving out of Burnley.
Well, I spoke to him earlier, but I will come to that in a minute. But what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I, like all of us, was really sad because this is like our ultimate dream of this podcast is to get Dyche on. So the fact that he's probably going to be managing like Swindon next, it doesn't quite have the same ring to it. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to go to that pub in Burnley still and do a proper like dedication to Sean Dyche and maybe ask him if he'll come down. Because he's not getting loads of press at the moment. I think he released a statement the other day, but he's not given any interviews. So Rose could get an exclusive with Sean Dyche in a pub dedicated to Sean Dyche in Burnley. I messaged him and they haven't replied yet. So, you know, guys.
We're waiting. He's done such a good job up to probably like this season. Nobody would have expected that they were going to be so far down in the relegation zone. But I think COVID didn't help them, like prolonging matches and stuff didn't help them. It didn't help the momentum with injuries. You know, Chris Wood going up to Newcastle, just don't like him as a player anymore because he did that. He shouldn't have gone. But what are your thoughts on where he should go now for Sean Dyche? Because this is going to be a huge dint in his confidence for the next team that he goes to, surely.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. Where does he go? He's not going to get another Premier League job, is he? It's going to have to be Championship. And even then, like, I think Championship managers are evolving as well. It's not like everyone plays rubbish football. Like, look, you watch Fulham and teams like that, and they play really good football. They've got Marcus Silva there, who's a good manager. I mean, maybe like a mid to low table Championship team. But yeah, I'm just sad we're not going to hear that gravelly voice. We're not going to see that beautiful bald head and the ginger beard. It's just like a chapter of my life is over.
Well, Sean actually wrote a poem. Okay.
This is going to be really
But I did phone him up and I just said, listen, Sean, what are your parting words? Because if we don't get to speak to him again and he goes off to maybe Benidorm or something for the foreseeable, I thought it'd be nice to maybe speak to him. So he did send us a poem. The journey's over. A sad, sad day. The journey's over. No more will I play. Long balls the Sean Dyche way or hit the big man at the bag stick. But thanks for the severance pay. I'm going to Benidorm, you big...
Oh,
so that was his parting words.
Mate, honestly, that means a lot.
It means a lot to us. It means a lot to us. Yeah. But let's move on to a proper team. Let's talk about Liverpool versus Everton. I presume you watched the game, Mike.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't expecting Everton to put up such a good performance, but I guess yeah, the Merseyside derby, they were up for it, and
particularly the first half. Yeah,
the first half they were, you know, they looked as if they were the better team, really, in terms of terms of the chances they created. They had two big chances. Obviously, there's a lot of debate with should they have had a penalty. Frank Lampard was fuming afterwards, wasn't he? He says you don't get those decisions at Anfield. Like Joel Matip has basically like brushed Anthony Gordon aside in the box, and VAR have apparently looked at it but not, you know, deemed it enough contact to be a penalty, which I don't know about. I think it probably is a pen. I think you do get them and you do see them. And obviously that would have changed the game. But then, yeah, Liverpool do what they do. They've got class players. Divock Origi, super sub, supreme, scores against Everton every single time he plays them. And yeah, he pretty much changed the game. He was involved in the first goal and scored the second. So yeah, when you can bring players like that off the bench and who are not playing all season and pop up with really important goals as he does for Liverpool, that can be the difference. But there's something about Liverpool right now that it's like an invincibility. It's like they can't lose at the moment. And you just feel like when there's a tiny bit of momentum in the game, the crowd senses it and lifts all of them. And it's just like, yeah, it's inevitable that they will win. And it was inevitable they were going to eventually come through that game.
Okay. Can I ask what you guys thought about Everton's, well, the discourse from Everton's tactics? Because I think people are massively overreacting to how Everton played that game. Because I remember when Everton under Lampard went to Spurs and they tried to press them off the pitch and they just got absolutely ripped apart. Literally, the game was done within like 25 minutes, wasn't it? And so Everton, like under Lampard, they want to play a high-pressing game. But against Liverpool and when you need to stay out of a relegation zone, I thought their tactics and game plan was absolutely spot on. Yeah. And I thought Carragher actually let himself down a little bit in commentary, because he's supposed to be neutral, and he always talks about how much he loves Simeone, and this was literally a Simeone like tactical plan, wasn't it? And I just felt that, yeah, I don't know, he's supposed to be neutral, and I love Jamie Carragher as a pundit, but I didn't think he was particularly neutral.
He's talking about the Richarlison stuff.
Yeah, and also just the way he was like being so anti Lampard's tactics, and it's like, but you know, like if Everton go to Anfield and press the same way they press against Spurs, they are going to get torn apart. And I thought the way like Lampard like instructed his team, I mean, it worked for 45 minutes, it worked for 60 minutes really, didn't it? And with a bit of luck, Everton could have at least got a point. Matip, like if that's a penalty, is it a sending off? Like they were close to getting something.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And everyone's been taking the piss out of Lampard anyway after that Spurs game. And if he did play those tactics against Liverpool, I think they lost like 15-0 or something stupid. Yeah. And so, yeah, he finally decided to have a bit of smart about him and set up in the correct way. And then he gets slaughtered for doing that. So, you know, he can't really win. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to see who goes down between them and Burnley, because you do feel like it's between them two. I feel like Watford and Norwich are probably already gone. But between them two, I don't know who I want to stay up. Is it Burnley because I'm still angry at them for sacking Dyche, or is it Lampard? Yeah, I don't know. I've got mixed feelings.
If Dyche was still there, we'd be like, come on, Burnley.
But now we're like,
oh, I'm not sure now. Maybe change their mind. Do you know what's been really nice throughout the podcast? We haven't really talked about Spurs, have we? And normally Joe would be talking about Spurs and we can't get a word in edgeways, which would encourage me to have a rant about Man United, but we haven't done that. It's actually quite refreshing to talk about other teams. You haven't said a huge amount about Arsenal though, I don't think, this week, Mike.
And yeah, you know, I didn't...
If you want to say something, just say it.
No, I didn't want to...
I hope you got another 3 hours, mate.
No, you know what? I think it just speaks for itself, the game at the weekend, Hannah. Like, we... Yeah, it was quite a controversial game, but I feel like we should have won that in the first half, because United would, like, they were just like, all right, we're not going to play anyone in midfield, just walk through and score. And to be fair, you did turn up in the second half, and there was a few dodgy decisions maybe, but I feel like overall Arsenal deserved to win. And yeah, it just shows where the two clubs are at the moment.
Yeah, it does. Anything to say on Spurs, Joe? No, you can't speak. Okay. Well, let's move on to any other business, because this week a cat gave birth to over 70 kittens. What's the worst thing to ever come out of your body? I'm going to say my kids. What about you? What about you, Simon?
Joe knows this story. I had a hemorrhoid once.
Did you?
Yeah, I've had piles. Yeah.
Sorry.
The way that just silenced for podcast, by the way, like you were both absolutely shocked.
Oh, how many piles? Are they like grapes? Do they look like
just one? Yeah, it was like a little fleshy grape just hanging out my bum. Weirdly, I was like 27 when I got it, maybe 28. I was pretty young to get a pile.
It's almost like when you know when you go around your mate's house and you sort of shout up to their bedroom and ask if they can come out and they put their head out the window.
Yeah. Imagine that. Yeah. The weirdest thing was that like I got my girlfriend to look at it. I was like,
is that what your ex girlfriend?
It's pretty obvious. She's sitting opposite me right now.
Wow. Fair play to her for sticking around after that.
Jesus.
Fair Christ. Play indeed.
She's so nice as well, Hannah. It's extraordinary.
Well, to make you feel better,
I put her through so much.
My granny had to have half a after she had given birth to my mum because her so bad. But what about you, Mike? What's come out of your body that's disgusting?
So are you just trying to...
I don't follow that.
Yeah, exactly.
This is genuinely true.
Poor granny.
I know, bless her. She's died now, but bless her.
Hannah, I don't think I can use that.
Yeah, but you're just a muscle.
Oh, God, that is so...
I didn't think was a real thing. I thought it was like just slang.
From my yeah, you
Ah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to release a reel where I bleep every other word, basically, and just get people to guess what Hannah was talking about.
Yeah, my granny had my beep, my beep.
And she's died now, bless her. But Mike, have you had anything come out of you?
I've had a chip come out of my nose before.
From a sneeze?
A potato chip or like...
Yeah, not
a chipped bone or something.
Chip. Not a chip from a poker. Yeah, from a poker game. All in. Wait, hold on. I've got another one. I was eating some sort of wrap, and it's weird. Like if you sort of sneeze and choke at the same time, it goes up the wrong way, and it just ended up back on my plate. So I had more food after I finished my meal. It was great.
And did you eat it?
No, I didn't eat it.
All right.
But that's a lie.
Because you can eat your own, you can eat your own and swallow your own phlegm. This was a question that somebody asked recently. Is it bad for you to swallow your own phlegm? Because somebody that I was talking to said you can't do it, you have to spit it out. But it's perfectly fine for you to swallow your own phlegm.
In what context were you having that conversation?
It was with my husband, actually.
Talking to someone.
Yeah, I can't even say what conversation we're having. But I was just wondering if you just... Get rid of that bit, Joe.
No.
Because I just wondering if you ate the chip that had your own phlegm around it.
What, if anything will happen?
Yeah.
I live to tell the tale.
Okay. Well, do you want me to wrap up now, Joe?
I think we probably should.
Yeah. I think if this episode proves anything, I think you need like a scientist, just a weekly scientist, just to sit in on the show and be like, oh, a pile actually arrives from this. And no, you can't eat your own phlegm covered in. I think you just need, it's like, be like Dictionary Corner.
Yeah.
But
can we get an in-house scientist, linguistics professor, perhaps a lawyer?
I reckon you should just employ Sean Dyche to do it. He could just...
Yeah.
It was out in Nottingham a couple of weeks ago, wasn't he? So not.
Did you see that picture?
I did. Yeah. What a ledge. Yeah.
That is classic Dyche, isn't it? Just on a night out, black polo shirt, not branded, bald head, looking great. He's had a shave and his beard. I could smell that picture.
You know when you go on a stag do and like
dad
and uncle get invited.
Yeah.
And they're ready at like 3 p.m. Yeah. They've got their brogues on because they're so excited because they haven't been on a proper night out and then they're all smashed and home by 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeans and shoes. Got to be done.
Got their work shoes on, but really shiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What fragrance do we reckon he pulls on a night out? I think Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yeah, we were saying maybe Dupe, or I think he's
Dupe. Yeah.
I think he's a Bulgari kind of man.
I think he's got Brute written all over him.
You're just going for alliteration, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I think he's a Bulgari kind of guy. What do you think, Mike? Not like
he smothers. He smothers himself in bear excrement, I think, for a night out.
Billy Bear.
He's a legend.
And if he can't eat it, I'll scrape it out his mouth with my nails. Right, I think that's a good place to finish. So don't forget, if you want to follow us, just follow us on the socials. I don't know all the hashtags. You know what I mean? Can you just get like your clip from the other week, Joe, and just add those bits in? So like us and review us because it really helps. It helps on algorithm and that. But thank you very much. Thanks, Simon, for joining us.
Were you born in the 50s? Like, you're from another time.
I don't know what I am, where I've come from, or who I even am. But thanks for joining us. So you're back on next week, are you, Simon?
No.
No, I don't think so. But
oh, good luck with this edit, Joe. Honestly.
You're not on next week. Well, thanks so much for coming on this week. Well,
thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Mike, as ever, thanks for coming on, and it's been great to see you.
Cheers. You too, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Good luck with the edit, Joe. Thanks.
Cheers.
See you next week. Bye.
Thanks, Hannah. Thanks, Joe. And thanks, Simon, of course. Always fun listening to the Rosehead guys do their thing. Don't forget, that podcast, along with a host of others, is part of the Sport Social Podcast Network, which you can find at our website, sport-social.co.uk. Just hit the podcast tab at the top of the page and you'll find our entire roster of sporting shows there. You can also find them wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back again tomorrow for Football Social Daily. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and that way you won't miss another episode of this show again. We are the award-winning and only daily Premier League show. Thanks again to Rosehead, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.